That's what we've got to find out. How does it all fit together? That's the thing of it. How does everything we found here fit together? Jamie almost wanted to laugh. Dex was as perplexed as any child trying to figure out a new puzzle. Well, we're not going to get the answers here in our bunks, he said. Let's get some sleep and tackle it tomorrow. He heard Dex chuckle softly. Yeah, right. If we don't go to sleep, Santa won't come. But Dex couldn't sleep. His curiosity about Mars gave way to thoughts about his father. Good old Dad. I've helped to discover intelligent life on Mars, and he hasn't sent a word to me, not a frigging word, not even a Christmas greeting. Not him. He's too busy playing the big shot financier to say anything to me. Too busy lining up money for the next expedition, and the one after that. He's taking the credit for me, letting them all tell him what a terrific son he's got while he picks their pockets. Dex turned over to face the curving bulkhead of the rover. Well, when I get back, I'm going to take over all that. I'm going to take my fair share of the glory and push dear old Dad out of the picture. Kick him upstairs. Let him be the old man while I take the spotlight and set up a regular schedule of expeditions to Mars. All kinds of scientists are going to want to come here. Archaeologists, paleontologists. Hell, they'll open up a new department, a whole new discipline. Alien anthropology. Xenology, that's what they'll call it. Maybe I'll endow a chair of xenology at Yale and take it for myself. Nah, he thought. I'm going to take the position Dad has now. I'm going to run things. I'm going to set up the financing and put the expeditions together. Make a regular corporation. Mars Expeditions, Inc. C. Dexter Trumbull, President and Chief Executive Officer. I'll get contributors to finance individual scientists. The tourists will pay for the scientists. That's the way to do it. Each tourist's fare will pay the way for a scientist to come to Mars. Great. When I get back to Earth, I'll already be famous. That's when I cash in on the fame. I'll fuck every debutante between Boston and Atlanta and screw their fathers out of enough money to send a dozen expeditions to Mars. 100. I'll build a tourist facility right here on the rim of the canyon where they can come down and see the village and then go on down to the canyon floor. Build a regular elevator so they can ride in comfort and safety. I'm going to make them forget about dear old Dad. When I get back to Earth, I'm going to be the star. I'm going to be so frigging important, even Dad will have to admit it. Christmas. Certainly we celebrate Christmas in Japan, said Mitsuo Fuchida. He sat on one of the bunks, squeezed between Stacy Dejurova and Dex Trumbull. Jamie sat on the opposite bunk with Trudy Hall beside him. On the narrow table separating them was the remains of their holiday dinners, now little more than crumbs and bones. The special Christmas dinners had been almost as good as advertised. Real turkey, drumsticks as well as white breast meat, with sweet potatoes, green beans and cranberry sauce. Indestructible fruitcake for dessert. There was even a small ration of white wine in plastic containers for each of them. Dex made extra strong coffee to soften the fruitcake. Is Christianity that big in Japan now? Trudy asked. Fuchida shook his head. Not so much. But we celebrate Christmas exactly the way you do, as a major retail sales event. Everyone laughed. They were in the rover that Dejurova had driven. A mangy tree made of aluminum strips stood lopsidedly by the airlock hatch, lit by tiny winking bulbs from the electronics spares supply. They had no gifts to exchange except the warmth of their own company. It was enough. Jamie lounged back against the bulkhead as they chattered and bantered back and forth. Tomorrow, Dejurova would drive the old rover back to the dome while the four scientists lived in this one and started the work of thoroughly investigating the dwelling site under the direction of DiNardo's committee. It's going to be tedious work, Jamie thought. Painstaking. With a half-hour lag between our asking a question and their answer. But that's tomorrow, he told himself. Tonight it's Christmas. He felt pleasantly buzzed by the little portion of wine he'd drunk with his dinner. Everyone else seemed to be equally relaxed, equally happy. Jamie looked across the table at Dex, grinning as he needled Fuchida about the religious significance of a shopping spree. A sudden thought popped into Jamie's mind. He slid out from behind the table, muttering an "excuse me," and started toward the cockpit. "Hey, Jamie," Dex called. "The pissoir is down the other direction." He turned and made a smile for them. "I can whiz out the window." Ducking his head, he slipped into the cockpit's right-hand seat. The four of them were making enough noise, talking, joking, laughing, so that Jamie didn't feel he needed to put on the headset. Still, he plugged it in and held its pin mic close to his lips as he addressed his message to C. Darryl Trumbull. "Mr. Trumbull, I don't know where you are, and I haven't checked on what the time might be in the Boston area right now, so please excuse me if I'm interrupting your Christmas celebration. I just thought it would be a reasonable present for your son if you called Dex to wish him a Merry Christmas." Glancing at his wristwatch, Jamie continued, "We've got a little less than 3 hours of Christmas remaining here, so if you're going to call, it ought to be pretty soon. I know Dex would appreciate it. Thanks." He rejoined the group as they began singing Christmas carols. Trudy had brought a CD with her, and no less than the Westminster Abbey Choir filled the rover with sonorous noels. The five explorers sang along at the tops of their lungs. Jamie kept glancing at the control panel up in the cockpit to see if the message light was blinking. It remained dark. Dex seemed oblivious to what he was trying to do, singing and laughing as hard as any of the others. Harder, perhaps. By midnight, there was still no call from Earth. But if any Martians were roaming across the bitterly cold, almost airless plain by the edge of the Grand Canyon, wafting on the thin night air, they would have heard strange, alien voices singing raggedly, "Deck us all with Boston Charlie, Walla Walla Wash and Kalamazoo, Norris freezing on the trolley, Swaller Dollar Cauliflower Alligaroo." Evening, Sol 111. "My back hurts." Jamie looked up to see Fuchida lifting his helmet off. The biologist looked tired. Fatigue lines creased his forehead and his eyes were bleary. Jamie had just finished vacuuming the dust off his hard suit after still another day of sweeping inside the cliff dwelling. Fuchida had been the last of the team to ride up the cable and return to the rover. For more than a week now, the four explorers had been painstakingly, tediously sweeping the dust off the floor and walls of the building. Under the direction of DiNardo's committee of earthbound archaeologists and paleontologists, Jamie, Dex, Trudy, and Mitsuo had adapted the brushes originally intended to clean spacesuits and electronic equipment into makeshift brooms and whisks. Day after day, they laboriously cleaned a small patch of one of the rooms, sifting the dust carefully to make certain that they did not miss a shard of pottery or a sliver of metal. They found nothing. Night after night, they limped back to the rover, backs aching, fingers cramped from the hours of gripping the improvised handles of their lowly tools. "Whoever was here," Dex said tiredly after a week of it, "pick the place clean. There's nothing here. Nothing at all." Fuchida had already pulled down his upper bunk and climbed into it. "We are wasting our time. Trudy and I should be down on the canyon floor where the lichen are." Jamie, in the galley microwaving his dinner, perked up his ears. "If Mitsuo's starting to complain, we've got real trouble here." "I'll talk it over with DiNardo tonight," he promised. "Maybe Dex and I can finish the sweeping while you and Trudy get back to the lichen." Hall was sitting on the edge of her bunk beneath Fuchida's.
"His blasted committee takes a week to decide anything."
Dex agreed. "Yeah, I say we check it out with Stacy, and if she doesn't have any problem with the move, we let Trudy and Mitsuo go down to the canyon floor." "And DiNardo?" Jamie asked.
"We tell him what we're doing. We don't ask him."
Jamie thought it over. The microwave chimed, and he pulled his dinner tray out and walked up to the table standing between the two racks of bunks. Sitting beside Dex, who was already wolfing down his own dinner, Jamie realized that the younger man had matured considerably over the past weeks. "He's getting downright likable," Jamie thought. "How do you feel about suspending your geology work, Dex?" The younger man shrugged as he chewed. Then he swallowed and answered, "I sure as hell don't appreciate being turned into a menial laborer. That's grad student's work. But I guess somebody's got to do it."
I appreciate your help, Jamie said.